Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and let's go to Genesis, if you would, the book of Genesis, chapter 48. And I want to read the chapter. It's not terribly long, 22 verses, and we'll read the chapter, and by the help of the Lord, we'll preach what is in this chapter this morning. Genesis, chapter 48. And we'll just start in verse 1, read out the chapter. Find your place in the Word of God. We'd ask you to stand this morning, and let's honor the reading of God's holy Word. Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrah. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrah, and the same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, These are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place, and that's being Egypt. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again in the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I do pray that you'd bless it this morning. God, that you might use it to speak to every heart today. Lord, I pray that you would save the lost, Lord. God, I pray that you'd draw those that are out of your will and backslidden. And God, I pray you'd encourage your saints today. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Only 17 years earlier, when we read in the previous passages we preached on, we find that Jacob had described his life in very most negative terms. When in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, Jacob said, Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Few and evil, he says, have the days of the years of my life been. And that was Jacob's perspective when he first arrived in Egypt and stood before Pharaoh. Now, 17 years later, Jacob is now facing imminent death. He's standing in the proverbial graveyard, and Jacob's tune has changed. His testimony is now one of deep faith and joyful gratitude for God's faithfulness and care through all the days of his life. The question would remain, how do we explain the change in Jacob's attitude? Well, for many, 2009 was a year of great challenges and great difficulties. And there are those, I would say here this morning, that are happy to see that 2009 has gone by. And you're probably not alone in your thoughts. Because it was Solomon who said in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Many of folks today, including many of you here, I'm sure, have suffered financial difficulties while struggling through this economy that we're in. Others have faced the pain of the continuing conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. Some have been part of crumbling marriages or home life. Some have dealt with major health-related issues. And others of you have felt the awful sting of death in 2009. Because of all of this, it'd be easy to look at 2010 and conclude that nothing but more suffering is all that we see on the horizon. But yet I believe, like Jacob, even though life can be terribly hard at times, we can look backwards at the past and gain confidence as we look towards the future. No, I can't predict to you today that everything in 2010 is going to be well. I can't predict that everything in 2010 is going to turn out rosy for your life. But I can tell you that we have reasons today, as we look in the Word of God, that we can understand that our outlook upon this next year, our outlook upon 2010 can be an outlook of confidence. And that's what I want to preach on this morning by the help of the Lord, is simply a message entitled Confident in the New Year. And I want to show you why it was that Jacob's attitude changed just 17 years earlier. At age 130, Jacob said, my life has just been awful. But now at age 147, he's facing death at any moment. He says, you know what? God has been awful good to me. And you wonder why after 17 years his attitude would have changed. And I believe that we can focus on the reasons why Jacob's attitude changed, and we can apply these very principles into our own lives. And I want you to understand, number one, is that our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of the past. Our attitude toward the future will change when we remember the blessings of the past. It's very easy for you and I to look back at the last year, or to look back at the last 2 or 3 years for some folks, and say it's been an awful time. It's been very difficult. It's been very hard. And we can focus on the sicknesses. We can focus on the pain. We can focus on the losses. We can focus on death and suffering. We can focus on financial turmoil. We can focus on wars and rumors of wars. We can focus on all of those things. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, is he wants us to focus on all of the negative things of life. But yet, if you would go back in your calendar and look, I dare say it'd be very easy to find areas of 2009 where God has blessed you in abundance. And as we look back on 2009 and we see that God blessed us in abundance, the Bible says, and Brother Jeff read it to us this morning in Sunday school, that with the Father of lights there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. And if the Father of lights was good to you in 2009, he's not changed, and he's going to be good to you again in 2010. See, our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of the past. Jacob remembered one day when he was at the place of decision. In verse 3, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. If you remember that day, that's the day when Jacob made the rocks his pillows and he began to see a time when he saw a ladder going from heaven down to earth and he saw the angels of God descending back and forth. And in essence, he makes a decision there at Luz. He says, God, if you'll provide for me, if you'll take care of me during the days of my life, he said, then I will serve you. Folks, let me tell you something. Jacob remembered the time in the past when God brought him to a place of decision. Not only did God bring him to a place of decision, but after decision came devotion. And we find that in verse number 16. The Bible says that the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Now you go back into Genesis chapter 32 and in verses 20 through 30 you'll find where Jacob wrestles with the angel of God. Up until this time he had served Laban for 7 years to get his wife and then realized that he'd gotten swindled and had to serve another 7. Well, to get back at Laban and to take his flocks and his herds, he then concocts this shyster way of doing things, and he robs Laban basically of his wealth and he takes off down the road. At this point in time, everybody's mad at him. At this point in time, Jacob is still a deceiver. At this point in time, he's not been blessed by God as he had hoped. He had been at the place of decision and he said, if God, if you'll take care of me, I'll serve you. But until this point in time, he had not been serving God. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord shows up and Jacob goes from a decision to devotion and he grabs hold of the angel and he says, I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. And folks, we need to grab hold of God today and say, God, it might have been hard in 2009. There might have been difficult times last year. But God, I want you to know I'm hanging on to you and I'm not going to let go until you come through for me. And folks, God brought him to a place of devotion. But then something happened. Because see, as we said yesterday, when an individual walks by faith, it's only a matter of time before God tests that man's faith. When a man says he's devoted unto God, it's only a matter of time before God tests that devotion. And the Bible says here in verse number 7 of what we read, the Bible says that as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way. Let me tell you something. He had reached a place of decision. Then he had reached a place of devotion. But then God led him to a place of death. And he lost his spouse that he loved. She died by the way. And he didn't have that one that he loved anymore. And you know what, folks? Let me tell you something. There's many folks that have tasted the sting of death this past year. You no longer have that loved one here in this life anymore that you loved and hung on to so dear. But I want you to understand that God, the same God that brought you through that, is the same God that will lead you by the way. The same God whose grace was sufficient enough is the same God who will continue to pour out His grace. The same God who was there for you in the midnight hours when it was all quiet and it seemed like you were all alone is the same God that will be there for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, but He will go all the way to the end of the world for you. And if God was good last year, God will be good this year. You may have had an attitude that said, I don't think I can make another day, but here you are. You may have had an attitude that said, I don't think I can go another year, but here you are. You may have thought, you know what, this is too hard and too much for me to bear, but yet here you sit today because God's been good to you. God has given you strength in your weakness. God has given you grace to see you through every day. God has been merciful on your life. God has been a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God is going to be there for you today. God will be there for you tomorrow. In the midst of your sickness, God will be your healer. In the midst of your pain, God will be your comforter. In the midst of your financial problems, God will be your supplier, because God is always on your side. Folks, just look back. Look back at the last year. And when you do so, you'll gain confidence as you go ahead for the next year. Folks, our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of the past. Our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of God's providence. Our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of God's providence. Because see, it's in God's providence that we'll experience the power of God. In verse number 2, I want you to look real close to what it says right here. In verse 2, there's a subtle change that happens in this verse. The Bible says, and one told Jacob and said, now he's talking to Jacob here, and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And then all of a sudden, his name changes. All of a sudden, he doesn't go by Jacob anymore. All of a sudden, the Bible says Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Folks, there was a time when old Jacob grabbed hold of that angel, and that angel blessed him that day. That angel changed him that day. You say, who was that angel? That angel was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the angel of God that day. And let me tell you something, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he touches a man, he'll change that man. Oh, he was Jacob at the beginning of his life. The word Jacob means a trickster. It means a deceiver. But oh, after Jesus got done with him, after the power of God came on his life, all of a sudden he wasn't Jacob anymore. He was now Israel, meaning a prince with God. Oh, let me tell you something. I just believe God has the power to change a man's life. That's why the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, you look back long enough, you'll find where God's power changed your life. Where you went from a sinner and now you're born again, saint of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that I'm born again. I'm glad today that God loves me. I'm glad that God's on my side. I'm glad for the day that God came down to where I was at. Oh, and he wrestled with me that day. But I grabbed hold of him and said, God, bless me. And God changed my life that day. Oh, because it's in his providence you'll remember his power. It's in his providence that you'll remember his presence. You go through here and every time you look and see, you'll find that God was there for Jacob. In verse number 3, the Bible said, Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan. That's when he was running. But yet there was God. Later on down the line, in chapter 32, God came along and changed his life. God was there for him when his wife died. God was there for him when the famine came. God was there for him all along. Can I tell you, God's been there for you the whole time. You may not have felt him. You may not have known his presence was near. See, there was two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible said when them two disciples was leaving Jerusalem, the Bible says that Jesus came and communed beside of them, was walking along and even talking with them. But their eyes were withholding that they didn't realize who he was. Folks, there's going to come a time if all you do is rely on your feelings, you're going to be let down someday. Because there are times when you're not going to feel much of anything. But aren't you glad that you're not saved by your feelings? Glory to God. Aren't you glad? I saw there's some days I don't feel like I'm a Christian. Some days I don't feel too holy. Some days I don't feel too confident. But I'm glad that the Word of God never changes. And God will be there for you even when you don't feel him. Because he promised to be there for you. And not one good word of his promises have ever failed. How many are standing on his promises today? Hey, it's in his providence you'll remember his power. You can remember his presence. And it's in his providence you can remember his provision. See, look at this. Jacob said 17 years ago, all the days of my life were evil. Everything's ever happened to me has been bad. He said, they're few. Man, lived 130 years and thought that was few. All the days of my life are few and evil. I've never had anything but bad ever fall on me. Oh, whoa, have you ever been around somebody like that? No matter what happens to them, how good it is, they're going to gripe and complain and moan about everything. Oh, God, it's just so bad. Oh, Lord, I tell you. You know what?
just get your shovel and go out there and dig a hole and jump in it, you know, if it's that bad. I tell you, if I was living in life that bad, I don't believe I'd want to live it much anymore. See, if you'll come to Jesus, He'll give you a good life. He'll give you an abundant life. No, I ain't telling you you might not have some pain. I'm not telling you that you might not have some problems throughout life. I'm not even going to tell you that everything's going to be rosy, but I'll tell you that everything's going to be brighter when Jesus comes along, because you've got a place you're going to that no matter how bad it gets down here, there's a place you're going to where it's all good. And see, he said, all the days of my life have been bad. But then he goes back in verse 15. Look at the difference in his attitude. He said he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. He said, few and evil were all the days of my life. 17 years later, he said, God gave me everything. Boy, I like that. God has fed me all the days of my life. Never have I lacked one time, because God's been there every day of my life. You know what? He might have been there Monday and Tuesday, but you know what? I went without on Wednesday and Thursday. That's not what he said. He said, every day of my life, God has fed me. I'm going to tell you right now, the provision of God never runs out. Oh, the banks may belly up. Oh, they might have to go to the government for help. Mortgage companies might fold their tents. Every company in town might give up. But I'll tell you right now, there's riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging bread. And if I live for God like I'm supposed to and seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, then all of these things shall be added unto me. I simply believe in the providence of God. Aren't you glad that God's on your side? See, if you'll look back, it'll change your attitude. See, our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of the past, when we remember the blessings of God's providence. And thirdly, our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of God's promises. Look what He's promised right here. In verse number 21, God's promised we'd have a helper. Look what He said in verse 21. Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. Israel's coming down to the end of his life. There's nobody that can help him at this point. All the doctors in Egypt can't help him. There's not a magician nor a soothsayer around that can help him out. Joseph can't help him, and he's second in charge of everything there in Egypt, and he can't help him. None of Joseph's boys can help him. Nobody can help him at this point. He said, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Jacob's dying, and he's saying, son, I'd love to be able to help you go home, but I just can't do it no more. I don't have the strength anymore, and I'm not going to be here much longer. Oh, but there's one that will help you. Aren't you glad? Oh, glory to God. There's a lot of saints of old that's laid out there in that cemetery right now. You know what? They were here when they were alive, and they were trying to help you out so you'd get home one day. But you know what? They're not here anymore. But I'll tell you right now, there's a God that's still here. And you know what? He'll help you get home one day. Glory to God. You can't get home unless you went by Him anyway. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, He said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, when the way gets rough, there's God who's there to help you. When the way gets hard, there's God that's there to help you. When there's darkness all around you and you can't see the path, there's God to help you, and He'll get you home. God has promised us a helper. And not only has He promised us a helper, but He's also promised us a hope. He's promised us a hope. Look what He said. He said, behold, I die. Not only shall God be with you, He said, but God will bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Joseph, I'm going to die one day, but hope's not going to die. Joseph, I ain't going to be around here much longer, but hope will always remain. Oh, let me tell you something. The devil wants you to look at everything and think there's no hope. There's no promise for tomorrow. There's no good that's ever going to come out of it. He said, you know what? He said, you might have got sold into slavery when you were 17 years old. You haven't seen your homeland since that day, but I want you to know that God's bringing you home one day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They brought that boy home yesterday. Carried him up that mountain on that fire truck. Glory to God. And they laid him to rest in that cemetery. I'm going to tell you right now, he went home. Hallelujah. He went home. He might have left down here, but he went home one day. Glory to God. I'm going home one day. I may have to soldier. sojourn down here for a while. You may have to go through some trials down here for a while. But if you hang on to God, no matter how far away you get, God will bring you home. There's a hope. And by the way, our hope is built on Christ. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Glory to God. One New Year's Day. And this is a true story. In the Tournament of Roses parade that you see on TV, there was a float. It was a beautiful float. But as it was going down the street, it sputtered and it quit. And what happened, they checked, it was out of gas. It was simply out of fuel. And the whole parade was held up until someone could go and get a can of gas to fill up that float. And the amusing thing about this float was that the float was sponsored by the Standard Oil Company. Think about that. It's sponsored by the Standard Oil Company. With all of its vast oil resources, the truck was out of gas. And you know what? You and I can try to live this life on the resources of ourselves, on the strength and the power of our own doing. But one day that resource is going to fail. One day it's going to run out and you're going to need a helper to get home. But glory to God, I'm glad that when I run out of gas, God's there. Hallelujah. I'm glad that when I get tired and don't feel like I can go another step, God says in your weakness, that's when you'll be strong. I'm glad that He's there for me. Aren't you glad God's there to help you out in the midnight hour? Aren't you glad God's there to help you out when you can't go another mile? Aren't you glad He's there to get you through whatever life throws your way? We have a hope. We have a helper. And we have a heritage. We have a heritage. And look what He says in verse 22. He said, not only is it going to bring you into the land, because you know what? For me to live anywhere, if I don't have a place to hang my hat, then I'm just a vagabond. I'm just worthless and useless in that place. I'm no more than those that are homeless. But look what He says in verse number 22. He says, I'll bring you into that land. He said, and then I'll give you a portion of it. I like that. I like that. I'll bring you into that place, Brother Eric, and I'll give you a portion of it. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got a portion. That's why He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my Father's house, there are many mansions. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. He said, and I go to prepare that place for you. Oh, hallelujah. I've got a portion there. I don't know if there's going to be a sign up on a post that has my name right there. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to be. But all I know, I got a portion up there. Glory to God, I got a portion. Jesus has gone to prepare that place for me. I'm not going to get on a cloud and float for eternity. But I'm going to a place where the help is real, brother. It's just as real as this right here. It's just as solid as this thing right here. Hallelujah. It's not some ethereal place up there. It's not something that's that everything thinks is just spirits and all this other. But I'll tell you right now, it's a place where there's streets of gold. It's a place where there's a body of water. It's a place where there's mansions that's built by Jesus. It's the great architect. It's a place where we can eat. It's a place where we can sing. It's a place where we can fellowship and have a good time. It's a place where we can embrace. It's a place where we'll live forever. And I've got a portion there, and so do you. We've got a portion in that place. Folks, there's a heritage. He gives us a helper. He gives us a hope. And He gives us a heritage. Oh, let me tell you something. 2010 don't look too bad now, does it? It looks a whole lot better now, doesn't it? Glory to God, it looks good. And you know what? I want you to look at this last thing. Look at this right here. Not only will our attitudes change with all of these things, when we remember the past, when we remember God's providence, when we remember God's promises, but our attitudes will change when we remember the blessings of God's plan. When we remember the blessings of God's plan. And I want you to follow this right here. Jacob's getting ready to die. And here he says, Joseph is coming, they tell him, and he strengthens himself and gets up on his bed. Another place in the Word of God in Hebrews, it says he's leaning over on his staff, his post. And there he is, he's holding himself up. Joseph comes in, he's bringing his two boys with him, Ephraim and Manasseh. By this time, they're about 20 years old. And he brings them on in there. And you know what? Those are Joseph's boys. They're not Jacob's boys. They're Joseph's boys. But Jacob looks at them, looks at Joseph and says, bring them two boys up here. Bring them over here close to me. I know they're not mine, but I want you to bring them over here to where I'm at anyway. Now look what he says there, I believe in verse 16. Let me get to it and follow it right here. Look what he says. Yeah, here it is, verse 16. He said, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Boy, aren't you glad for that day? Look what he says. He said, let them bless the lads. But I like this right here. Let my name be named on them. He said, bring them two boys over here. They're not mine, but by the time I get done with them, I'm going to adopt them. Hallelujah. Some of you got that already. I wasn't his one day, brother. I was the son of another, the son of the devil. That's what the Bible teaches, by the way. I was the son of the devil. But God said, bring him over here to me. Bring him over here to me. And you know what? I came to God. Hallelujah. And before it was all said and done, his name was now my name. Hallelujah. He adopted me into his family. See, I can look back on the past and I can think it's all bad. I can look back on the past and think it's all awful. I can look back on the past and just have gloom and doom. But you know what? I look back on the past. And I see in March of 1995 that I got the name of God on my life. God adopted me into his family. And if it wasn't for the past, I wouldn't have a hope for the future. Glory to God. See, your attitude will change when you start looking back. Your attitude will change about what's ahead when you know what God did you. I like it. I like it. Aren't you glad? See, you may be here today. You think there's no hope. You think, you know, you think, man, 09 was so awful. You know, maybe 2008 was your year that was bad. Maybe it was 07, 06, whatever it might be. Whatever time it was, might have been bad. But you know what? Just keep hanging on and keep looking toward the future. But every now and then, turn around and see what God did for you in the past, because he's not changed. And if he did it for you in the past, he'll do it for you in the future. Hallelujah. You know what? He saved me back then. And he'll save you today as well. He'll save you. He says, bring them here unto me. Bring them here unto me. See, there's a reason you came to church today. Is because God was saying, bring him here unto me. There's a reason you're here today. See, when you understand God's providence, you understand why you're here. There's a reason you're here today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, see, if you know Christ as your Savior, the reason you're here today is to worship God and to be obedient unto His Word, because it said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's to grow in your spirit, because the Bible says we're here to be edified. That means to be built up spiritually. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to fellowship. We're here to commune. That's what saved people go to church for. But why would a lost person go to church? Let me tell you why. Because God brought you here today, because He's saying, bring him here unto me. Bring him here unto me, because I want to do something with him. I want to give him my name. See, he's got his own name right now. He's a son of the devil. But just bring him unto me, and by the time I'm done with him, I'll adopt him. He'll become mine. See, you're here today for that reason. You're here today because God wants to save you. There is no other reason why you're here today. You may have thought it was just to get that one off your back. You may have thought it was just to do a good deed. You may have thought, for whatever reason it might have been. But you know what? You might have thought it was just obligation. Well, I think I ought to be there. All those things. But you know what? The true reason and the only reason, if you're not saved today while you're here, is because God is saying, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Now you're here. Now you're here. And you're face to face with that God. You're face to face with Him right now. You may turn your head and not even look at me right now, but I'll tell you right now, you're face to face with God, whether you look at me or not. You might get up and go to the restroom here in just a minute when this invitation starts, but let me tell you something, just because you leave this room don't mean you're getting away from God. Who in the world do you think you are? You can run from His presence. David said, if I ascend to the heights of heaven, he said, you're there. He said, behold, if I go to the depths of hell, he said, thou art there. Where in the world do you think you're going to go to get away from God? He'll hound you and hound you. That's why you're here. He's saying, hey, bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Let me tell you something. God's got something good for you today. God has something that nobody else can give you. He has something this church can't provide. He has something that I can't provide. He has something your spouse, your friends, your neighbors in it. He has something nobody but Him can give you. And that's cleansing by the blood of His Son and adoption into His family. Nobody else can give you that. Of His own will, the Bible says He begat us with the word of truth. You can be born into the flesh with a certain name labeled on you, but that won't get you to heaven. You can be a Miller, a Black, a Carter, or whatever you want to be, but you know what? None of those names will get you to heaven. You have to have the name of God on your life to get you to heaven. That's the only way you'll make it. And God brought you here today because He's saying, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. I got a name to get them there. I got a name to get them there. I used to work at places I've worked at places before where I've got to have a badge to get in. And you know what? They'll look at that badge and they'll look at me and they'll make sure the name matches the face and all that. And you know what? I've got to be who that I say that I am to get into that place. You know what? We've got to have a name that God can look at and say, that boy's mine. Let him in. That boy's mine. Let him in. Let him in. Oh, let me tell you something. God's got you here today and He's got access for you. He wants to give you the badge that'll give you access into eternity. Into this place called heaven, into eternal life, into forgiveness of sins, into liberty that only the Son can give you. He's got full access today for you if you'll just receive it by faith. It's that simple. Just receive it by faith. Would you stand today?